Good morning. Would you please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25? We're going to start with the text that Barrett read for us just a few moments ago, Matthew chapter 25. As I mentioned at the beginning of our study Wednesday, our hearts are certainly heavy with the loss of loved ones and those who certainly are hospitalized. But as we come together to worship our God, we have things that we may focus on that give us the hope beyond this life. And I hope for the few moments that we have together, we can gain comfort and encouragement from one another in the midst of a crazy world that seems to be falling apart sometimes, in which we can look beyond it to the hope that rests in an eternal life with God and Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 25, let's read once again, beginning verse 1, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" There are many lessons that this very short parable could teach us. In the context of chapters 24 and 25, this will be followed by two other, one parable and then one which I think is describing an account of final judgment that each emphasize the idea of preparation. Well, see, in this particular parable, a marriage is described and some customs perhaps that might seem unusual to us, but the point that underlies all of these things that may seem to be odd customs by our standards is you need to be prepared. In whatever situation you face, you need to be prepared. And specifically here, the emphasis is preparation because we don't know when it is that the Lord will return. You know, we sang a song just a few moments ago that used the term ready. We sing a song from time to time that in the chorus will ask this question, "Are you ready?" And I want us to think a little bit about that idea, because the idea of readiness, as we see in this particular parable, is something that runs throughout the teaching of the gospel in many respects. And I want us to start with a text in Revelation chapter 19. If you go with me to Revelation chapter 19 and look with me at verses 5 through 9. As this book begins to wind down in Revelation chapter 19 verses 5 through 9, we read some things about a marriage as well, but from a little bit different angle. You'll notice verse 5 says, "Then a voice came from the throne saying, 'Praise our God, all you His servants and those who fear Him, both small and great.' And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, 'Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory. For, notice, the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife, notice, has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints.' Then he said to me, 'Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are the true sayings of God.'" I really think in both the parable we began with, and here in the terminology that's used, speaking of the marriage supper of the Lamb, these are figures that are describing eternal life. These are figures that are describing that time in which we as the church, the bride of Christ, the betrothed bride of Christ, will then be united once and for all eternally with God in Christ. But I call to your attention here what it says, and this is the heading that I've put on our overhead. Here is it describes what the bride has done. And you'll notice here it describes that the bride has made herself ready for the marriage feast, for the marriage supper. And I want us to think a little bit about that, because if we are the bride of Christ as the Lord's church, and here the picture is the bride making herself ready for that marriage supper that comes, for that wedding feast that comes, what does that imply to us? The Bible emphasizes a great deal that we need to make certain that we're ready in a broad way. We are to be ready to give. And I want us to think a little bit about that. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. I think I actually missed one. Yes, let's start with Titus 3. Go to Titus 3. And in Titus 3, let's look at verses 1 through 7. Here in a very broad way, as we think about, well, what are those things that are good as defined by the Word of God? Am I prepared? Am I ready when the opportunity comes to do those things? Notice, beginning in verse 1 of Titus chapter 3, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs together of the hope of eternal life. Notice that terminology near the beginning of our reading. We're to be ready for every good work. Now, what does that mean? Well, I'm not going to be ready for every good work if I don't know what Scripture describes and defines as good work. I'm not going to be ready for every good work if I don't keep my heart and my mind where they ought to be so that I can do those things that Scripture describes as good. I'm not going to be ready for every good work if I allow myself to engage in that which Scripture describes as sinful. So I need to be ready for every good work. But now let's go to the text that I jumped to a moment ago, and that is 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I want us to notice a few specifics, and some of these will have application to maybe a specific group that is mentioned, but there's, I think, broad application that comes to all Christians. Here, the group that is being specified are those that are rich. But I want us to notice what is said here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. In a relative sense, we must recognize that as those that live in such a blessed country, even in the midst of such difficult times, we are kings compared to so many that have lived before us. We are wealthy compared to all the world and those who've gone before us. Are we ready to share? Are we ready to give and to be generous with those blessings that the Lord has given us? I want us to notice a text that we're probably very familiar with over in 1 Peter chapter 3 that here talks about something that we are to give, but it's a little bit different. It's not something that is material in nature. It is something that has to do with our faith and those challenges to our faith that come all the time. There'll be those that will mock our faith. There will be those that will say, well, what good does it do you? Has the faith that you have in Jesus Christ spared you in the midst of all of the world's turmoils? There will be those as well that are just puzzled by what it means to believe in Jesus Christ. You know, they can see the things that they may touch and feel with their senses, and they may have a tendency to think that that's all that there is. Are we ready to give an answer in those situations where we must give a defense for our faith. Peter writes through the Holy Spirit, beginning in verse 15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." Am I ready to give a defense for the faith that I have? You know, in the same way that we mentioned a few moments ago, that to be ready for every good work means that I've got to make some preparations. In the same way, if I don't make some preparations, if I don't study the Word of God to know what it teaches us, if I don't look at and think about some of those challenges to faith that the unbeliever will make, I'm not going to be ready to give a defense. But our text here says we are to always be ready to give a defense for the faith that is in us. And just kind of a side note that we might recognize, we are blessed to live in a country in which we're not afraid this morning to come and to worship our God, even again in the midst of turmoil and difficulty. But we need to be aware that we do live in a changing world and a changing environment, that no longer necessarily is it the case that we can look at our neighbor and our friends all around us and think, well, you know, they don't believe sound practice as Scripture teaches it, but they believe in the Bible, they believe in Jesus. Friends, that's changing. And we may, within our generation, I hope not, but we may certainly face situations in which there is persecution in a very severe way for being a Christian. Are we ready to give a defense for the faith that is within us? Over in 2 Timothy, there's another passage, and the specific context is to those like myself who are evangelists. But I want us to notice that in the fact that evangelists are to strive to set an example for all believers, I think we can make application of this text in one sense to what we as Christians generally are to do. Notice what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. "I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn," excuse me, "their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." Notice the powerful wording that is used there in verse 2 as Paul teaches Timothy to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. What does that mean? You know, I heard this morning some that had been deer hunting. There is a season for deer hunting, isn't there? And we recognize that, you know, if you were to go out and you were to try to hunt that same deer at a time when it's not the season, that wouldn't be acceptable. You'd be fined. You could face severe trouble because of that. Now, let's think about that. Is there a season to preach the Word of God? Well, fortunately, it's not something that, all right, you can only talk to people about the gospel at this particular time. But I think the idea is, there may be times when it just seems to happen conveniently, either conveniently for the person doing the preaching or conveniently for the person to whom we are trying to teach. But then there are other times that's not really the time you would have guessed that it would be best to sit down and have a conversation about the Word of God. But are we prepared? Are we ready? Do we keep ourselves in a state of readiness so that whether it's in season or out of season, we are ready? And I hope as we think about this, it will be the kind of thing that we strive to make certain that we are ready. Absolutely, as we think about the parable we began with in Matthew chapter 25, and we think about all of these ideas that we've looked at briefly, there are a number of things for which we must absolutely keep ourselves in a condition of readiness, because we don't know what life will present us with. Over in Luke chapter 12, Verses 16 through 21, Jesus tells a parable in the context of talking about covetousness. And there are those that were quarreling over some inheritance. And in the midst of that, notice with me, beginning verse 16, then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This text is absolutely not talking about the idea of planning. It's not saying that if you are blessed and you try to make provisions for building and planning things in the days that the Lord grants to you, that that's improper. I don't think that's the lesson we should draw from this. I think the lesson may be drawn from the very point that's made in verse 21. As we do those things, as we plan things in life, as we strive to be ready and prepared for whatever life throws at us, are we rich toward God? It is a foolish thing if we go through our life and we're ready in every other kind of circumstance, ready in every other situation. We've saved for our retirement. We have a good nest egg that's set back and we are secure regardless of what the economy does. But we've never even stopped to think for a moment about our spiritual preparation as we face the end of life. We must be ready for the end of life. In this parable, certainly, the issue was that this man, he thought so many things were going his way, but he never even stopped to think and to prepare and to consider that he might not have any more time. And I think as we think about this idea of readiness, that's something certainly that all of us need to place in the forefront of our mind, because we have no guarantee of tomorrow. And that's true not only when it comes to our own life personally, but as we began with in Matthew chapter 25, the point that Jesus made in that text was, you don't know the day or the hour in which the Lord will return. In the Gospel of Luke, in Luke chapter 12, in a different context than the text in Matthew, it's interesting because Matthew will put several things that are all very similar in chapter 24 and 25. Luke will place some similar teaching in some other contexts, and so we'll see that here. But I'd like us to notice in Luke chapter 12, let's look together in Luke chapter 12 and read verses 37 through 40, where we see a little bit different idea. It's not here a marriage, but it is the idea of if the delay comes at different times. You remember in that parable at the beginning, they didn't know when the bridegroom was going to come. And as he was delayed, and yet they weren't prepared, that's where the problem came. Let's read here in Luke chapter 12, verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed the house to be broken into. And notice verse 40. Therefore, you also be ready. The Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. I want us to think about this in both the parable we began with and in our text here, especially as it mentions this idea of delay. We hear sometimes issues discussing imminence and would it really have meant anything if the Lord didn't actually come within the generation of those within the first century. But while I think those are worthy considerations, let's think about what is said here as it mentions the third watch or the second watch. It is pointing out there may be a delay. And if there's a delay, don't allow that to lead you to fail to be ready. We must be ready for the Lord's coming. But I want us to end with just a couple of thoughts as we think about this, because we've been talking primarily, as we began with Matthew chapter 25 and then looked in Revelation 19 at the idea of the bride making herself ready. We've been thinking primarily in terms of those things we must do to be prepared and to be ready. But I want us to notice, finally, a couple of things that we can be assured of that are being prepared or do stand ready for us if we do so. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1, I'd like us to notice some wording. In 1 Peter chapter 1, read with me beginning in verse 3 and we'll go down to verse 5. Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith," notice this, "for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." There is a sense in which, having been obedient to the gospel, a child of God, a Christian, a disciple of Jesus Christ, is saved. But there is also a sense in which that salvation will only fully be realized and fully realized when our Lord returns. But I want you to notice, God has it ready for us. Isn't that a beautiful thought? In the midst of whatever we may face, in the midst of whatever difficulties this world can throw at us, we need not worry, because God has salvation ready for us. It's ready to be revealed in the last time. But one last thought I'll leave you with, and that's in 1 Peter. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. And I want us to notice another thing that Scripture speaks to us about with respect to readiness. 1 Peter chapter 4, and let's read together verses 4 and 5. Our emphasis this morning has been preparation we should make. Am I ready? Are you ready? But whether or not we heed that instruction from Scripture about readiness, the child of God who is ready and prepared can be assured that salvation is ready to be revealed. But whether we recognize that or not, whether we are obedient to the gospel or not, we need to recognize that God stands ready for something else as well. 1 Peter chapter 4, read with me beginning in verse 4. "In regard to these," that is, turning away from sin, doing what is right, "in regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation." Here, speaking of what the world thinks, speaking evil of you. But notice, they may think that, but verse 5, "they will give an account to Him who is ready to judge the living and the dead." You know, have you ever thought about that? We spend a lot of time talking about how we need to be ready and we need to be prepared. But have we stopped to think about the fact that whether we do, whether we are ready or not, there is one who is ready, and that is God, is ready to judge the living and the dead. Are you ready? Have you put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God? Have you confessed that faith before men? Have you committed yourself to repent and turn away from sin that separates you from God and to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins? If so, you have been added to the body of Christ, and as you abide faithfully in the Word of God, you can accept and look forward to that salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. But perhaps you've never done that. Are you ready to stand before the one who is ready to judge the living and the dead? If not, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.